This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Never filtered, always fun.
We didn't talk about Van Riemsdyk all year.
Way off base on that one for your five pack. Noodles, what do you got?
I'm still going here.
I read my file already.
Oh, you already did?
Yes.
Did I say Rafalski?
Is your dad's name Eugene?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
It's that time of year again where I go out in public and people come up to me and say, what did you do with your day with the cup? And I have to say, I didn't win a cup in Carolina. That's the year I got traded, the year they won it.
Oh, so they know you didn't win in 02 when you're on the team. They thought you were on the team in 06 coming out of the lockout.
Yeah, they think Carolina Hurricanes, like, you won a Stanley Cup. And I honestly, it's so painful.
Okay, well, let's just...
When they say, what did you do with your day with the cup? Because everyone's talking about OV, swimming in fountains, and...
Let's just be hypothetical. What would you have done with your day?
My day with the cup... I probably would have played a round of golf, had a barbecue with my buddies and family.
Well, I don't think the day with the cup is crazy. It's the 3 or 4 days after winning the cup, yeah. And that's what we're witnessing here.
And by the way, no one gets the cup except Ovi, apparently.
Yeah, Ovechkin has exclusivity over the cup. I have not seen a picture with one other player holding the cup, and that's not me, like,
you know what?
Exaggerating.
I saw one video at the baseball game. Backstrom lifted it up, and I was like, oh, my God, someone else touched the cup.
It's got to be annoying. I mean, let's be honest. There's got to be guys on the team that are talking to each other in the corner. You know, like the fourth liners, kind of the plugs in the background, who don't expect that kind of camera time and don't expect to own the cup.
Right.
But probably are a little bit bitter. Like, we get it, Ovi. You've been here the longest. You're the captain. But can somebody else hold it for, like, five minutes?
I wouldn't have a problem with
can
it.
Can I have a nap with the cup?
I want the party. I would go with that party.
Yeah, but the party is the cup. Like,
exactly.
That's the thing, though. You gotta have the cup. You gotta roll into the restaurant with whoever has the Stanley Cup. You gotta be in the fountain with the Stanley Cup.
But there
cup
were other players in the fountain, weren't there?
Oh, not yeah. The whole
thought
team.
I thought I saw Holtby, Oshie, Wilson. Whoever wants to go with the cup, you go. That's what I would think.
I don't get that impression. I feel like Ovi.
So you don't think Lars Eller's invited?
No, I don't think he is.
I think he is.
I don't think Jay Beagle's invited.
I think the problem is longevity. You get greased one night, you wake up the next day and go, I don't know if I can do this. Where you've got a few other guys who have the iron lung going, or the iron liver going, and you keep it rolling. I would be right there.
Oh, so would I, too.
I think it would be the greatest thing ever. Like, I can't believe people are criticizing Ovi. As usual, it's the losers on Twitter that have to chime in. And, oh, if this guy did this, you know what? Let him do it. I guarantee you, if you had social media in the 80s and followed the Oilers around.
Yeah, but that's not what people are using as a comparison. Whoever wins titles...
Right.
It's a weird part of our society.
By the way, what are they criticizing?
They're allowed to do whatever they want.
Exactly.
As if they're not citizens. These guys are still citizens. Like, in what other walk of life can some guy just go get gooned in the middle of the day and start swimming in a fountain? You can't do that.
I know,
like, nobody else is allowed to do that.
Sports is not regular life.
I know that.
The accountant who gets a big raise isn't going to do that.
But I understand why the accountant's like, well, I want to do that. Why can't I do that? Ovechkin did it. I pay taxes, too.
Because
I live here, too.
Because nobody cares about your raises and accounting.
I understand that, but
nobody
what I'm saying
cares.
Is there's an element of jealousy there that these guys are allowed 4 days of just being polluted.
Debauchery.
Absolute debauchery, which I am jealous of. I'm not saying I'm not.
I think it's amazing.
I think it is amazing. What I'm saying is it should be allowed in other walks of life.
Okay, so...
You win an election, Doug Ford should be in a fountain downtown.
No,
right now.
Because all of the...
Doug Ford
would be at
City Hall in
all
a fountain
upset
right now.
And, you know, oh, this guy's not work. The point is it's sports. Like, what other sport could allow that? TFC, did they do it?
Oh, I'm sure they had a great time.
Right?
I think if you
they
win a title,
have a good time.
You have a great time.
Exactly. Like,
Altidore
right.
was goon down at City Hall.
Yeah, he was.
So here's the thing. You're right. Where does it stop? I think it's just reserved for sports because nobody cares about
anything. John from accounting gets a raise. Yeah. If he goes down and swims in the fountain, everyone's going to say,
he's going to get arrested. Loser.
But that's what I'm saying. Why does he get arrested? Like, why can't John do what Ovi did? Why not?
John from accounting is just told, hey, get the hell out of the fountain.
Yeah, like, get out of the fountain. No, I think maybe they chicken wing him out, like, depending on where he's at.
Like fountains in Washington, D.C. have history, man.
Yeah, well.
Like, Jefferson bathed in that thing.
And not to mention the land. I was talking about the landscape of the world. Anybody steps out of line in Washington, they usually get a smack from security.
Right.
That's not the case. Ovi has the key to the city right now, yeah. And the key is named Stanley.
It is. And listen, I'm coming from a place of jealousy. I'm being honest with you.
We all are.
I'm just saying, why? Like, I know winning the Stanley Cup, it gives you, and you're a celebrity, and you're worth a fortune, and everyone in D.C. knows Ovechkin and loves him.
Yeah.
And I think it's been hysterical. It has been hysterical to watch him party for 3 or 4 days and watch all of them. But why can't we get it in other walks of life? Why not?
Well, what?
Why can't we? We have a great show. Why can't we go get Goon downtown? And
you know why? Nobody cares.
But who cares if nobody cares? I'm saying
that's the reason that they do it, because everyone loves Ovechkin and they see him in the swimming pool or fountain, whatever it is, and they're like, "Oh, look at Ovi. He's doing a swim in the fountain." If it was me and you and Noodles, people would be like,
"But you're sure?
Call the cops. These guys. There's three losers in the fountain. No one cares."
I understand that nobody cares.
But you want people to care, and they're not going to ever care.
I guess what I'm saying is there's some inconsistency in terms of the way society reacts to different celebrations and different performances based on drinking. Like, if the average person is so gooned on a Friday afternoon, it's like, look at that degenerate. I feel sorry for his whole family. I feel sorry for his life. But if an athlete does it after winning the cup, it's like, oh, that's just amazing.
But what if
that's
it's a one-off?
So great.
What if it's a one-off?
That's the breaks, man.
I'll admit. So I went on my boys' trip last week. I was drinking at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
But
not out in public.
Yeah, in public.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Hermosa Beach. Sitting on a patio. We had road bikes down there. We had, it was like spiked lemonade, vodka and lemonade.
Yeah, no disrespect to you, but nobody cared.
Nobody cared, but that's the thing.
That's not the conversation I'm having. I'm not talking about people caring. I'm saying just the reaction to it is very inconsistent in terms of society.
Yeah, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. How many people? John from accounting doesn't win the Stanley Cup.
But whatever his Stanley Cup is just as valuable to him than these guys.
Okay, so if he wins Beer League Baseball?
No, I'm not saying that. What if he gets married? He marries the woman. He has a kid. Finally has a kid. He's been trying to have a kid for a long time.
So he's allowed to get gooned and just go swim in the fountain?
Well, according to society, he's not. But if you win a cup, even though you didn't even play, you're a black ace.
If he had a kid, you know how different winning a Stanley Cup is.
Why, though? Why is that different?
That's professional sports. If you're not good enough to make it, you don't get to do it, and that's the fact.
It's not about good enough. Like, John from accounting hates hockey. He never wanted to make it.
Hey, so nobody gives a crap about him. That's the bottom line, Brian.
I understand nobody gives a crap about him, but I'm saying, why can't... Like, he cares about him.
John from accounting just had a baby, right?
Exactly. Like, he cares about his own...
I get what you're saying, but you know what? We could argue... until we're blue in the faces, because why does a movie star make $20 million a movie and a teacher who shapes young minds make X amount of dollars?
I'm not saying that.
You should have tried harder in practice. Nobody cares about you.
He's Happy Gilmore.
End of story.
I get it, but I guess what I'm saying is if John from accounting tries to explain it to us, our reactions would be different, which I get is natural. I understand. Like, if someone wins a cup and comes up to you and you see them gooned and you're not a sports fan and you ask them, hey, why are you acting like this? And they say, we just won the Stanley Cup. You'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool. But if John from accounting did that and you asked him, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I just, got a raise.
Close the deal.
You'd be like, oh, great. I'm going to go call the cops on you because you're in the fountain.
Sorry, John from accounting. You should have tried harder in practice.
Here, the only thing I would
Nobody
say is that everyone in that city is well aware of what's going on.
Of course they are.
As opposed to John from accounting and closing his deal.
So you're calling pro athletes, like, what, elitists? Or
No, that's not my point. I don't care if they do this.
I just said there's a double standard.
I'm loving watching it. What I'm saying is we all should be able to do that then.
No.
Because we should all be able to, like, why did they get the right to just be piss tanks for 4 days in the city doing whatever they want, whenever they want?
Because they're better than other people, and they're professional athletes, and they
want they're better than everybody else.
That's right. They're better athletes. They're better.
Who cares about athletes?
Right. You know, well, I noticed they're taller, bigger, stronger, better looking. They're better.
What if some guy's got a 165 IQ?
Yeah. Who gives a rat's ass?
It's better, though, isn't it? You think Ovi could compete with him in an IQ test?
Solve the Pythagorean theorem?
There you go.
I don't know.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, I know. So you're smarter than me, but you know what? If we walk down the hallways of the ACC, nobody cares to see you.
He's the host of Overdrive. Which
no, it's true.
That's not even remotely true.
That's true.
What, they stop you all the time? Because you're wearing that stupid jacket, so they're like, look at this guy. Some guy, the usher, I need to ask you for directions to the washroom.
So you think if me and you walk down the hallways of the ACC that you...
Of course not. You played for the team.
That's right, because nobody cares about you, because you didn't play for the team. That's the whole point.
But that's not the point of the conversation.
Because you sucked at hockey. You couldn't make the NHL.
That's not the conversation of the story.
That's the whole point.
It's not the conversation.
You just said it's a double standard, and that's
where I am. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Shout out to Ovi and the Caps.
Yeah, there you go.
When is it going to stop,
though? He's better than other people. He's better than John from accounting.
At hockey.
At hockey, he's better than John from accounting.
Yeah, he's a celebrity. He's famous.
Yeah.
And he won the Stanley Cup on television. He raised it, and he gets to swim in a fountain.
But you still haven't answered my question.
Nobody cares about John from accounting.
What if Doug Ford did it, though?
But that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
He'd be kicked out of office before he even got in. If someone saw him in a suit... down at City Hall, swimming in a fountain.
I actually would.
Gooned.
I would actually.
His brother probably did do that.
That's the thing, though.
There may be some truth in that.
I would double down on that guy.
Anyway, I I'm not trying to pretend like I care one way or the other what these guys are doing. What I'm saying is, I think it should be open to other people to be able to have that kind of a celebration.
Well, if you
and not the perks. You're not going to be able to throw out the first pitch at the game and be up in the press box and get your day with the cup and a parade. I'm not saying that. But just
something
the
that's very unachievable. So EKB just wrote in, like, if you won the Nobel Prize.
Go for it.
Something like that.
Go for it.
I say go for it. But what is the level that you can't go for it?
I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line.
Having a kid?
Probably, because you got to be responsible. Like, if you go on
a bender,
a tour for like 4 days, and you don't even end up at the hospital or back home to help, I would say that's probably crossing the line. I'm just asking if there's any other profession where you can get away with it.
I think in pro sports you can, but I don't know if there's anything. And I say pro sports because doesn't Gronk go on a mission every time this guy's out?
Like, even if they don't win.
Regardless of what he does. But I'm saying in other professions, is there any other profession? Maybe somebody wins an Oscar. You hear about those Oscar parties.
Well, someone texting and saying, when DiCaprio finally got his Oscar, what do you think he was up to?
That's
for 3 or 4 days.
The problem, not the problem, the difference with DiCaprio, any party, any yacht he's on or whatever, it's phones in the bag, and this is not out in public.
And he's living like he won the cup every single day of his life.
Yeah, this guy, you're right. Like, I think there's different levels to it. But it would be cool if a brain surgeon just saved somebody's life
right.
and was like, I just saved a child's life by brain surgery, and I'm out of here, and is goon that night.
Yes, and having a great time.
And in the fountain.
And celebrating. In the fountain. Like, the fountain seems to be the image of this cup run, isn't it? Or the celebration afterwards.
What it was for me is we see everyone, especially in hockey. How many times has hockey been called like the vanilla sport? Sid, McDavid, those guys are very conscious of their image.
Right.
Ovi wins it, and that's what Ovi's been his whole career, pretty much, is the villain. He's been the guy who doesn't care, and respectfully, I don't think he's been a guy who's crossed the line that way, but he's done things his own way. So I actually applauded it in a sense, because that's raw emotion.
Yeah, it absolutely
like
is.
Like, it was raw. This is a guy having the time of his life,
mm-hmm.
winning something that he probably, there were times, I guarantee you, even as recent as a month ago, where he was like, I'm never going to win this trophy. They're down 2-0 to Columbus.
Flying to Columbus, they're probably thinking,
I'm never going to get close.
World Hockey Championships again.
Yeah, and like, you just, so I'm... there will be a time where the reins have to come back in, or maybe it gets a phone call from Leonis's his owner saying, like,
I
dial it back.
I don't know about that. That's
well, he's doing the tour
question.
Tonight. Isn't he doing like Fallon?
I think he's on Fallon.
Yeah.
And Fallon, is that in New York? I guess.
Yeah, because I just saw the private plane last landed. That's
and the
one
parade's
thing.
Tomorrow in D.C.
You're getting blow by blow, hour by hour of what's going on. That's 2018. Like, I mean, we were joking about it last week where, you know, at Pantera's house, if there was cameras back then, like, guys would...
Oh, of course.
Would have been out of the league or lost marriages. Who knows what would have happened?
Yeah. A lot of people pointing out, what if you win the lottery?
Oh.
That's probably worth it.
You win Powerball?
Yeah, you win like $300 million. Go and do whatever you want.
Some guy won
days.
The Powerball in the States a couple weeks ago, and he bought like several hundred pounds of manure and dumped it on his boss's front yard.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it was like $200,000 worth of manure. And then he got fined and like arrested, yeah. And he's like, so whatever, I don't
whatever.
Care.
Whatever, I'm rich. Doesn't
he doesn't
matter.
Care.
That's a great way to go out. See, Dwayne Casey has a new job.
Maybe Dwayne Casey should be celebrating.
I would
like
so.
That.
Yeah, I mean, 5-year deal down in Detroit. And I'm sure we'll get him on the show at some point in the next couple of weeks. But he's going from a scenario in Toronto where... This was a team that was built through the backcourt. I mean, it's Lowry and DeRozan for years.
Yeah.
And now it's a backcourt or it's a frontcourt heavy team in Detroit. It's Griffin and Drummond, and that's going to change his approach, I would think, to an extent. But I don't love the Pistons. I don't love the news I'm hearing coming out of Detroit. Someone was reporting today that they finally wilted and allowed him to pick his own assistant coaches.
Like, that's a standard thing in coaching.
Wait, finally wilted?
Yes. That's... So originally when they were making the pitch for him to take the gig, and it sounds like Dwayne Casey, as early or as recent as this weekend, was saying, I'm not taking it. They finally went back to him and were like, okay, you can pick your own assistants.
See, that
is... Like, that's a bad start in terms of the ownership relationship and the GM. Like, how do you come in, a highly touted coach, who I think is going to win Coach of the Year, just won 59 games with the Raptors. You're going to pay him a lot of money, but he has to inherit the assistant coaches?
That's loyalty, and that's the owner being loyal.
I think it's money, too.
You think so?
Yeah, they just don't want to fire somebody and pay somebody else.
Exactly. Now they can fire the old assistant coaches and hire new ones.
But sometimes you see it. Like, you see it all around as... These GMs and owners and that are so loyal to people, they just move them in the organization instead of moving them out. And Casey, I'm glad that he stuck to his guns. You can't go in there and inherit people that you don't know.
Well, and he just went through that in Toronto. Like, these were not, Nick Nurse was not his guy. He was brought in with Masai. The rest of the staff was brought in with Masai. He went through the, you can stay, but your assistants have to go, and I'm hiring them routine here in Toronto. And I don't know if it worked or not, but nonetheless, he didn't stick around here. So
either way, this
and the Raptors still have a vacancy. They're waiting for a head coach.
Masai better get it going here. Not that there's a clock, but you want to. I don't know. Every time we turn around, this guy is praised.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got to get the right guy, but by all accounts, they're down to two guys. It's Nurse, who was on the staff, and he hired him as an assistant coach, and Messina out of San Antonio.
Stackhouse was hired.
Stackhouse is down in Memphis now, so he's out of the running. So neither of them have, you know, much name recognition. Not that that's ultimately important.
No, but...
It doesn't mean anything in terms of your chops as a head coach, but what it does mean is whoever he hires, either Nurse or Messina, assuming it's one of those two guys... There's going to have to be a sales pitch that comes with it.
Right.
You know, you hire a big name. You hire, you know, let's say Popovich was a free agent. You don't have to say a word. You don't even have to have a press conference.
No.
Just send out a release. Guess who's running the show here? It's Pop.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a pretty easy one for people to accept. If it's Nick Nurse, okay, what's his story? What's his background? What's his image of where this team is going to go?
Well, I was,
and that's the position the Raptors are in right
now. I was reading that Pop wanted to have a meeting with LeBron. You read that?
I heard that. Well, that's the story. Strap your boots up, man. The next month, it's all LeBron. Where's he going? What's he doing? It's going to be
everywhere. And he left the door wide open, too.
I thought it was such a D-bag move when he showed up for the presser with the cast on, and he had to go, like... You don't think J.R. Smith feels bad enough about game one? And he's like, I just can't stress the importance of game one, how important it was, and we lost, and I knew how bad it was, and I punched. I'm like, dude, are you for real right now? Do the cast after the presser and don't, like, that was a joke.
Well, the cast was, that was a prop. That was the last
one. It was
a
prop.
Yeah, it was a prop because
The guy's an unbelievable athlete, but I thought that was a complete embarrassment of a presser. Sewer your teammate like that and have to go out there with that prop and say, I broke it in game one. I can't even believe what I'm watching right now.
That's another thing. You don't have to announce why you broke it.
Exactly. Just say, I broke it in game one.
I broke it because J.R. Smith crushed me
and crushed my hopes. He completely sewered his own teammate.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be his teammate anymore.
Who cares?
He's probably
it was
out
just
of there.
A sewer job that I thought was a joke.
Well, yeah, it was a convenient prop.
What else I found as a joke was Kevin Durant wins the playoff MVP.
Finals MVP.
Finals MVP. He doesn't even go shake Bill Russell's hand. Did you not notice that? Like, Bill Russell, they wheel him out there, and he just got the trophy and was like, thank you. I'm like, at least go shake the guy's hand.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I didn't notice that either.
It was gross. It was gross to watch.
Well, I thought watching that quote-unquote celebration was one of the stranger
That was the worst championship clinching game I've ever seen.
It was horrendous, terrible. But they weren't even excited because they knew it was done.
Imagine not having your best players on the court when the game ends. It was like the bench players.
They were like firm handshakes, like, well done. Good for you. Good. Like nicely done winning the championship.
They're not OVing it in the fountain.
Not even close. Like, they probably knew back in September they were going to win again. Right. But once they went up 3-0,
right,
it was over. Everyone called it. Everyone
Nick
knew it.
Young
Cleveland,
was the only guy excited.
Because he's never won a title, right?
No kidding.
Exactly. Like, Steph Curry's like, I don't care, man. Like, I really...
That was...
Whatever. That this
was,
is what we expected to happen.
It was a weird vibe.
That was
really
the worst
weird
game.
Vibe.
It really was weird. An awful game,
It was an awful
too.
Game. And that's Cleveland just said, forget
Cleveland
it, we're out
like,
here.
Like, done.
Yeah. U-Haul's packed, we're done. But they knew it. They knew before the game, but by halftime, you know they were sitting in the back like, guys, it's over.
Expedia.
Yeah, it's over. So there was no moment. You know, like comparing it, it wasn't like
countdown
a walk-off. There was no
ball,
countdown.
Yeah, like,
there was no... Yeah,
the only moment was the Kevin Durant three in game three.
Yes.
That was the moment.
From about 8 feet outside the...
Well, I mean, I guess J.R. Smith pulling a Bill Buckner was... But in terms of, like, suspense and, like, to your point, a shot or a block or a rebound.
A
memorable
that was
moment,
it.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah, it was
you
awful.
You look back in the Washington series, it's the Holtby save on Tuck.
That's exactly
a TSN turning point right there.
Mm-hmm.
That the Golden State Cleveland, you're right, J.R. Smith and then Durant's three. That's the only two memorable plays that I can think of. There are a couple others, but I mean Steph Curry dominating that one game. That was embarrassing.
Well, and in game four, he was pursuing that NBA Finals MVP. Like, that's a story. Yeah. That's when you know you have too much success, when there's a debate over who wins the Finals MVP and whether or not it's going to pit the two of them against each other.
Yeah.
Because you could tell he was gunning for it in game four. He wanted that. And that, to me, it just essentially accentuated what I've always believed, that hardware, like, it matters to all these guys. I don't care what they say.
Right.
You know, hardware matters, not just the titles. I'm talking about MVPs and scoring titles and all that kind of stuff. They all say the right thing.
That's
oh, it's about the team.
Streak.
No, it's not. That's well, it is about the team, but you want it, too.
Yeah,
Steph
you know
wants
Steph Curry,
it.
His ass is chapped about not winning the...
Durant rolls in and takes two, you know, and if Durant never came, they still would have won the titles, I think, and Curry might have had both.
Yeah.
And Iguodala got one the first time they won it.
Well,
so he doesn't have a Finals MVP in three runs.
And there are, I mean, you could see... I read an article, and I don't know how factual it is because it was opinion, but, you know, Durant, it said that Durant was a bit choked that LeBron is still seen as the best player, even though this guy has been that good.
He needs to get over himself because LeBron is the best player.
It was an opinion article, but still, I mean, I don't know where it came from, but it sounded like it was from, like, an insider, somebody...
Well, he did say, I read a quote, I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of, it's much more difficult to be the best player on a team filled with great players than it is to be the best player.
Standalone on a bad team.
Which people are taking as a slight towards LeBron because of who he's playing with compared to who Durant's playing with. But Eddie Olchuk is on the show. We're going to look back on the weekend's news. Justify, triple crown winner. Second time in the past 4 years, American Pharoah doing that in 2015. So, see what Eddie O has to say. I'm assuming it was down at the Belmont. And he won start to finish, pillar to post. Gronkowski came in second, too. Gronk's horse, number two. So nice. We'll catch up with Eddie O, start looking ahead to the NHL offseason. Ray Ferraro's on the show. Our buddy Adnan Virk on what could be happening with Shohei Ohtani. The Jays sweeping Baltimore. As bad as the Jays are, that Orioles team is historically awful. So we'll get into that conversation.
God, are they brutal. Yeah.
Just horrendous. Just horrendous. And the security of John Gibbons starting to come up, but a bit of a different slant in terms of that conversation. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Ray Ferraro coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. Our buddy Adnan Virk of ESPN later this afternoon on the Jays. It sounds like Shohei Ohtani is on pace for Tommy John. And if he gets Tommy John, he's shut down basically until 2020. He'll miss the rest of this year and all of next year. Tommy John just completely knocks you off the map.
It's crazy.
And it would be such a shame because he's just been...
Such a shame for baseball. I mean, this guy was the...
The it guy.
Yeah, he was the it guy.
Mm. Guy's hitting bombs. He's throwing...
A year and a half, though. Like, if you end up... I mean, you can come back from it.
Oh, yeah. He'll return, but... Then he's got to
talk
of
it when he first signed. Like, they were saying that, you know, they did a... The physical and their elbow problem.
They said eventually it was going to be Tommy John. They weren't sure when, right?
Right, yeah.
And I remember that.
He had the issues, I believe, in spring training where it flared up a little bit, and they thought they could skate through it. So no one can be that surprised. And over in Japan, like they don't have pitch limits. Those guys, they have shorter staffs, I believe, maybe four-man staffs. And
jeez.
So a lot of these guys come over from Japan, and they've been pitching over there for 4 or 5 years, and they're throwing... You know, 250, 300 innings a year. And
crazy.
They're loading up on their arm, and they get over here, and it just explodes on them. So that appears to be the case with Shohei Ohtani. Nothing official yet, but we'll get into that later this afternoon. The Jays take all four against Baltimore. They're in Tampa tonight. And a lot of, you know, outside discussion over John Gibbons and what's going to happen with him. I don't think he's back next year. I can't picture that. But now people are starting to wonder, like, is Gibbons basically going to go to them and say, if we're going to do this, let's do it.
Do like, it now, like one out early.
I wouldn't blame him for that mentality if he feels like he's definitely a dead man walking, but then he'd maybe be walking away for money or something like that, and I'm not sure that would be in his best interest. But we'll talk to Adnan about that later this afternoon. Eddie Olchuk, who's a big part of NBC's horse racing
yes.
analysis, he called it a few weeks ago. He said Justify is just a man amongst boys.
Yeah.
And he looked like it at the Belmont over the weekend. So we'll look over history in the horse racing world and get Eddie O's take on what he's expecting over the next month or so in the NHL.
By the way, what happened? Like, is that horse, like, done now?
Yeah, I guess he'll go to the next circuit, but at some point they'll put him out to stud, and he will just live the Ovechkin life for the rest of his life.
And that is
so he just goes out
money.
In the field and mounts other horses.
Basically, yeah. And it's lucrative. Like, the owner will make like $80 million or something.
I told you. I was like one 250th of a horse.
They're a
that
human
never
field
lost.
Like that?
And it was.
You think you'd qualify?
The studding fee for
I
our
don't
horse
think
was,
so, but I want to go in that field.
Like $60,000 a stud.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. These and big, these like this is a triple crown.
$250 to $500. Like, those are ridiculous.
Yeah. So we'll see what Eddie O has to say about that. The stud price. What kind of money are we talking here? Eddie Olchuk will join us in 2 minutes. All right, Eddie Olchuk coming up here in a moment. He was at the Belmont over the weekend, the official handicapper for NBC. That's a great handle. That's the gig I want, the official handicapper of TSN. Just call me up if you want my take on
it. I bet you could try out for that.
Well, I need to narrow the field, though. Eddie's got it right, man. He's got the ponies on lockdown. He knows exactly what's going on. I'm sure he could probably contribute to some hockey gambling news, too.
You could be the NFL handicapper for TSN.
NFL's
tough.
Was Eddie allowed, like he handicaps it. Can he bet himself?
You want to ask him?
Yeah,
yes.
Let's ask him.
Here's Eddie Olchuk. Go ahead.
Eddie, what's the answer to that? You're the handicapper. Are you allowed to float down cash on your own bets?
With both hands, Oney. With both hands.
How do you do?
Well, I mean, I've got a pretty good reputation out there. So every squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah. Like, I got people asking me all the time, like, what do you think about this hockey game coming up? You know, the Capitals are at Carolina, you know. And I'm thinking, I should know who is going to win this game. And I'm always wrong.
Yeah, that's a tough racket, professional sports. I mean, you got the guy in goal that could probably ice the game if need be. But, you know, look, I've been lucky enough to be a part of the horse racing coverage for NBC the last 4 years. And I've seen two Triple Crowns my first year on the scene with American Pharoah, and this year with Justify winning. But I've been a horse player since I was 14 or 15 years old, and wherever I played, I've always made a second home at the local racetrack. So when I played for the Leafs back in the late 80s, I was out at Old Greenwood and in Woodbine, and then when I went to Winnipeg, I was at Assiniboia Downs. So, you know, I've done okay, and it's a great passion, and it's a lot of fun to be coming off the Triple Crown, and looking forward to the rest of the summer, that's for sure.
So you like the stereotypical player, quote-unquote? You got the trench coat on, the top hat, the whole nine? Or what does Eddie Olchuk look
really,
like?
Not really, usually, because I don't have anything under my trench coat, so no, I'm not the typical.
Right.
Yeah, I'm more the broken-down horse player that, okay, you know, kind of has the form and has the pen in the ear, and you know, looking at the TV monitors and trying to figure out what the heck is going on. I don't walk around with a computer like a lot of guys do now. But hey, whoever's willing to step up to the window, it's A-okay. And one thing I will say, if I can, the one question that I get a lot when I bring new people to the racetrack or just talk about it is, a lot of people have this, you know, kind of perception that you're playing against a track, like you're betting against a house. And that's like the furthest thing from the truth. Like, it's not going to a casino where you're going head to head and you're playing against the house's money. The tracks are the brokers. Like, they supply the horses, they supply everything that goes with it. They get a percentage of all the money that comes in. So whether you guys are sitting in your studio in TO, or I'm here in Chicago, or we're going up against some guys in Winnipeg, all that money goes into one pool. So, you know, the one thing that I get a lot is people go, oh, wow, I didn't realize that you're not betting against the track. No, really, the track could care less who wins and whatever. But again, it's parimutuel wagering, so everything goes into a pool. It's almost like fantasy sports, which I thought was really interesting the last couple of years, where everybody thought, like, this was the greatest thing in the world, and it's not gambling. It is gambling. Fantasy sports is gambling. Mm-hmm. People are putting money on the line, and you're trying to divvy it up and see who can do what, and, you know, who's going to score, who's going to get a shutout. No different in horse racing. So we need to do a better job, we being people in horse racing, to let people know is that you're not going up against the track or the house. You're going up against the guys that are sitting next to you, across from you, or maybe 2,000 miles away from you.
Eddie, we were talking before you came on. What is the Justify's plan going forward? Like, what happens to this horse?
Yeah.
Does he still compete? What happens?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there were lots of speculation thought that if he would win the Triple Crown, is that he would just head off to the breeding shed and get $250,000 every time a mare that's all lathered up comes into the breeding shed, and he's going to go ahead and do that 200 times a year and do the math. It's a nice little gig, 50, 60 million a year to have a little fun and put a cigar in your mouth after and say, thank you, may I have another? I mean, that's just the reality of it. But look, it sounds like the horse is going to continue to race. He needs a breather. There's no doubt about it. He had six races in 111 days, his first six races of his career, and is a Triple Crown champion. So my guess would be is that he gets, you know, a good 30 to 45 days off. So that takes us into, you know, kind of middle July, late July. There is a race in Monmouth, New Jersey, the Haskell, which I think is a $1 million race. And then you might have one more race, and then you got the Breeders' Cup down at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, in November. So, you know, does he get two more races before the Breeders' Cup? And of course, the Breeders' Cup is, you know, $7 million race. So, you know, maybe they give him one more, and then they go into the race and look at Bob Baffert, the trainer, who's won two Triple Crowns now in 4 years. And that was his fifth opportunity at a Triple Crown, which is just absolutely amazing. And to me, I think he's put himself right at the top of the list as far as top trainers of our lifetime when it comes to especially three-year-olds. So he'll be, you know, he'll be right by the horse, but I would not be shocked if he had one more race and then he went into the Breeders' Cup, and then we'll see. And then you got a big race in the end of January, end of January down at Gulfstream Park, which is owned by Mr. Stronach, the Stronach Group. And that race is, I think, 15 or 16 million. So 60% of that, that's a nice little chunk of change. Oney, I think that's your, that was your last contract, I think. Yeah, so
give or take.
I think that'd be a pretty good payday for Justify if you can get the job done. So hopefully three more times for sure. But I would, I'd be disappointed if it was anything less than two.
Eddie, is there a human barn where like a human can go in there? Like I can just go in the barn and light up the cigars.
So are you offering what, a couple of toonies for every time, or what are you?
It's a box of Timbits every time.
Just for the record, once my wife knew we were having our fourth child, I became a gelding within 48 hours, just for the record.
With Eddie Olczyk, you mentioned Bob Baffert. Like, is he going Ovechkin right now? What's his story? What's the celebration / partying equivalent of winning a cup final in the horse racing world?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, and why not? Why wouldn't you be having so much fun? I know he was making a tour in New York last night. I think he was on the Today Show in New York today. And, you know, I mean, he's being pulled at every direction, you know, throwing, opening, ceremonial first pitch at baseball games. And, you know, I mean, look, he's loving life and rightfully so. Like, he has had some incredible animals and he's done a great job. And so, I mean, you're living life. I mean, you are living large, and it's been a lot of fun to kind of see how it's all come together. And again, I mean, look at the run that he's had here in the last 4 years. And for people that may not be inside horse racing, I mean, he had a horse 2 years ago by the name of Arrogate, who was as good as a horse that I've ever seen in person. He didn't run in the Triple Crown because he was a little banged up, and Bob saved him. And again, that's the one thing that Bob Baffert does, is he does right by the horse. Like, he's not going to push the horse. He's not going to force the horse into something he's not ready for. And Arrogate, like I said, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind, if we know what ifs are. But if it could have been possible for him to be healthy and be ready for the Triple Crown 2 years ago, he could have. There is no doubt in my mind that was the best three-year-old that I've seen up close in person, Arrogate, and he could have won back-to-back Triple Crowns. Like, that's how good that horse was. He proved that later in the year. He won the Travers at Saratoga in August, and he won it by, I think, 14 or 15 lengths, and it was the fastest Travers in history. So he's been on a hell of a roll here, and whatever he's doing, I want some of it, because he's going good right now.
You mentioned that name, Bob Baffert, and it kind of got me thinking. Years ago, I was invested in a couple horses down there, and I believe he was one of the trainers, and Vindication was the horse, and they were out of Herondale. And
sure,
he ended up being put down because of a stomach something, but that was a horse that had done very well for a couple years. And then they were getting studding fees. So that's basically what the projection is for a lot of these horses, just make cash, right?
Yeah, well, no, it does become that, Jamie. It becomes, I mean, it's a business. First, it's a business, without question. And it's a really big business, because the rumor and the word on the backside, at the Belmont, was they had a $60 million deal in place, regardless of what happened going into the Belmont. And there was a kicker in there of $15 million if he happened to win the Triple Crown. I'm talking just, the breeding rights. That's just strictly for that. This has nothing to do with the money that he got for winning the Belmont or the Preakness or the Derby or any money he's made. This is just strictly breeding. And like I said, when you really think about it, and again, the deals, we don't know what's going to end up happening, but, I mean, a $75 million done deal for the breeding rights, and then look at, they'll get their shares as far as how many times and how many, opportunities they will get to breed to Justify when he's ready to go to the breeding shed. But again, just do the math. If he is going to get $250,000, every time he goes to the breeding shed, and they can go a couple of hundred times in a year, you're talking close to a $60 million deal. $5 million here or there, and horses have been known to be able to go ahead for. And if he drops a couple of stone cold runners, the price might go up, but at the end of the day, you talk about 7-8 years of that type of stud fee for a period of time. You're talking about a $500 million deal on the line. And some people will say, well, then why would you even take your chance on running the horse, right? Like, because you never know. I mean, Jamie just talked about Vindication. I mean, it happens. It's the worst feeling. And I've had it happen to me, and it is absolutely the worst. It is the worst when that has to happen. But, again, they're in it to race. They're in it to breed. And there's a lot on the line, and I guarantee you there's probably an insurance company or two that's probably pretty happy because the policy on this horse here has to be absolutely through the roof.
Absolutely, no question. Always great catching up with you, Eddie. I'm sure we'll do it again real soon, man. Enjoy the summer, and thanks for doing this.
Okay, guys, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Here's Eddie Olchuk, NBC horse racing analyst.
Justifies just...
The breeding shed.
You could start your own stud farm.
Oh, yeah. But what happens if he rolls in there and some other owner of the female horse has paid a lot of money and he gets in there and he's like, I'm not doing that.
What if she's ugly?
Exactly. He's like, I'm not into her at all.
I don't know.
I'm not doing that.
I think they...
If he's a guy, he won't have that issue.
I think they force feed that situation.
Probably.
Horse Cialis, just a giant tablet the size of a soccer ball. Just eat it and go nuts.
It's go time. Breeding sheds.
It's crazy
for all
There's
the
so
horses.
Much money in that.
Eddie loves horses, or
him talking. I don't think we've ever had a guest on who talks more passionately about anything than
he
Eddie
wants out of the hockey industry. And he wants to be full time horse,
exclusively horse racing. He's talking awesome. About races 4 or 5 months down the road. Oh, the owners of it, the guys who sponsor it, everything. He's the man.
Love it.
Race coming up. We'll get to hockey with him and turn the page on the Cup final. Look ahead to the off season. We'll get into the Jays, and they're in Tampa tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Quick shout-out, congratulations to Mike King from Owen Sound, one of our favorite gritty towns up in central to northern Ontario, who's taking home a brand-new Weber barbecue.
Nice.
From Dixon's Barbecue Center.
Ovi needs a new barbecue. Do you see his barbecue? It was like an old-school charcoal piece of crap.
It was.
Yeah, he needs an upgrade quickly.
I give him credit. Like, he's a multi-million dollar athlete. He lives like a grub. Like, he's
got like one couch.
Yeah, brutal suits. Like, he's just a scrub.
Our kind of guy. Ovi,
yeah, he is.
Celebrating like every cup winner should. Rays coming up in the next hour, and we'll get into the Golden State Warriors, their legacy, and Kevin Durant versus Steph Curry in terms of the finals MVP. And is it possible Steve Kerr eventually they say, you got to get out of here? Like, every other coach has an expiration date. It doesn't feel like Steve Kerr does. And why is that? We'll get into it in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.